This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Babe, how would you say your social battery is right now?
Probably non-existent since having Bear, but it's slowly coming back and I'm almost ready to get back out there and host a game night, babe. It's been too long.
I'm ready for that too.
I would say after having a baby, we've been in survival mode and haven't had a lot of extra time for socializing, but we're getting there.
Yeah, I agree. But at the same time, we both know it's important to surround ourselves with community during hard times. So it's been a tough balance that we're trying to manage. We actually talked about this in therapy recently, and it's been really helpful to dig into.
We've been open about getting back into therapy after having our third baby, and it's been a great game changer for us. We recommend it to literally anyone, not just couples going through a hard season. It's a great place to learn how to set boundaries, communicate, and learn how to build a social life without draining your battery.
If you're thinking of starting therapy, BetterHelp is an amazing option.
It's all online, so you can do whatever fits best with your schedule, which is perfect for us, especially with three babies.
You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and they let you switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/EastFam today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EastFam. Let's get back to it.
Here's the answer that I think we both agree with.
Okay.
When you're parents, two kids, you are teammates. You have to be able to ask your teammate for help.
Yes.
And you can't ever feel guilty about it.
Yes.
Period.
I agree. Don't try to figure out the strategy of the war while you're in the battle. You like that? No. You like that? Come on. I just came up with that.
You're
babe.
Just such a
Do you think I'm geek. Like...
You're a genius, babe. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Couple Things.
With Sean and Andrew.
A podcast all about couples.
And the things they go through.
Today, for some reason, you have asked us to give you advice.
That's right. I think it's going to be a fun one.
I hope so. I feel like our number one rule is we don't preach and we don't teach. So we're just going to give you our experience, whether it worked or not. Maybe it will help you.
Yeah, we're going to be giving some fun stories. But I will say this. Sean does more research than any other mom that I've ever met. So you do have some really key insight. I'm excited Thank for you. You to share. So what happened is we asked you on Instagram what you wanted us to talk about as far as like advice. So how do you fly on a plane with babies? Or how do you, what's your sleep routine? We're going to go through about a dozen, maybe like 15 different topics and give you what we've learned through them.
Before we get started, we do want to remind you that we are not counselors or therapists or really anyone who is trained in any professional field. So take this as our experience and not a prescription.
That's right. But for those of you who have asked, here is our advice.
Oh boy.
Let's jump into it. First on the table, babe, is someone asked our advice on flying in an airplane with babies.
Okay. This is funny because one of my best friends, Lauren Morford, that I grew up with, went to kindergarten with, asked me this exact question because she's doing her first flight with her baby of 4 months. And there's just a lot here. There's a lot to talk about. I'll try to summarize quickly.
I'm excited.
What to pack? You don't really have to pack anything out of the ordinary for a plane that you wouldn't just pack to like go to the zoo. Like you should pack milk if you're not breastfeeding or snacks.
You're talking about pack a diaper bag for the plane.
Yeah. Pack a diaper bag for the plane.
That includes the following.
A couple toys or distractions. Snacks, which you can also buy in the airport, and milk, that kind of goes along with the snacks, milk, formula, whatever it is you need. Maybe take a pump if you're breastfeeding or pumping, anything like that. I would say feed a bottle of some kind, whether it's like a sippy cup or a bottle of breast milk or formula during takeoff and landing, because it helps kind of adjust their ears.
Mm-hmm.
And
one thought that I had is, planes, in my mind, are the best time to break out the iPad. I feel like if your kid is at the age where they appreciate that, hook them up with the iPad. They don't even need headphones or anything. It's just give them a screen to look at. My main concern is like getting them through it somewhat distracted and in a way that doesn't make your experience miserable because you have a screaming kid, you know?
I also think, to a certain extent, try, if you can, to plan your flights kind of around the kids' schedules. So don't try to fly a red eye with your kid because they're not going to sleep. It just doesn't work that way. Don't like plan it like, oh, the plane's going to become their bed. Doesn't work. Yeah. Kids don't like to sleep on planes. plan it during the day so that when you get home, you can put them down for a nap or for bedtime and just expect that instead of resting on the plane, you're just going to be like interactive with your kids, playing and distracting them the whole time.
Yeah. I will say one thing I think you skipped there was a bottle warmer. Back when you were like pumping, it was really helpful for Sean to have some type of way to warm bottles. If you don't have that, then you can ask the flight attendant for hot water. They make coffee on planes, or like the restaurants in the airport have that too.
I will say I ended up like investing in this like portable water warmer, and it actually was just easier to ask the stewardesses for like hot water that I would put in a cup and set the bottle inside. So
yeah.
Or on the opposite side, if you pump, if you need to keep something cold, ask people for ice. Like, yeah, just ask for help.
And then naps, the way we handled naps with Drew on the plane, she was definitely off her normal schedule, but we just had her, I mean, that's when she had a meltdown, was when she was tired and couldn't fall asleep because it was outside her normal environment. But she ended up falling asleep straddling Sean, or mm-hmm, like we just held her like in a cradle position and she seemed to do okay.
Yeah. I think just understanding that like it's not your house and it's not a crib, so it's going to be different.
Also pack lots of wipes because Drew had this thing where she wanted to just eat the seats. So like it's helpful to sanitize disinfect things. Yeah. Do that.
To list a couple more things. Okay. So if you are traveling with an infant, we don't have to go into explanation, but Mamava, MAMAVA, is an app you can download. It will show you anywhere in the country where there is like a nursing, pumping, or mom station, which really helps. Like I use that to find a place at a baseball stadium, like close to a gas station, in an airport, all these things. And then Milk Stork is something that I used a lot. It's kind of pricey, but it actually is really awesome to use. It's a way to kind of ship and travel with a ton of breast milk if you're pumping or trying to travel with that.
Can you talk about breast milk through TSA?
Breast milk through TSA. So we'll try to link down below the like sheet that I have, but there are TSA laws that protect breast milk and mamas. You are allowed to travel with breast milk through TSA at like up to 100 and some ounces. So not just like your 4 ounce bottles of liquids like shampoo and conditioner. You can travel up to like 100. Your breast milk does not have to be x-rayed and does not have to be opened and tested. So yes, I posted something on social media a while ago about my TSA experience. I kind of got in an argument with a TSA agent because they wanted to open every single container and actually physically test the liquid. That is not a law. So you don't have to. So you just have to kind of voice that. They just have to do extra screening on you and all the bags that you're carrying.
And then the last thing I wanted to talk about was strollers, which we've tried all the strollers out there. The two that we prefer are the Upa Baby. That's pricey, obviously, but I like that one. It's larger and bulkier. But for an airport, it's helpful because it has a little undercarriage where you can throw bags, and it just, there's so much clutter when you're going through an airport or on a plane with kids that it's nice to have one spot to keep things. And then the other is the Duna, is that right?
The Duna.
Where it's like a car seat and stroller in one that just kind of folds up really nicely. That's nice to be portable. And we've taken Jet on the airplane in the Duna, which works out well. So that's kind of my high level thoughts. If you have deeper questions, just DM to us and we're happy to answer.
We have a lot more that we could go
there's
through.
A lot that goes into it, but if I had to summarize it, it sounds overwhelming initially. You'll get there, you'll do it once, it'll be a little stressful, but then you'll realize, you know what, this is totally doable and my life doesn't need to be planeless for the rest of my child rearing years.
Planeless,
because you know? It is overwhelming,
but it is overwhelming. However, for anybody who's gone on a long road trip, that's overwhelming. It's no different. It's just rip the Band-Aid off. It's a plane.
And it's just something new.
And if your kid has a meltdown on the plane and someone has an opinion or gives you a face,
I will say I used to get somewhat annoyed by crying kids on planes. Now I just have empathy for the parents.
I just want to go over and be like, do you want me to take them?
I know that you're stressed and nobody wants this. All right. So our two oldest kids have been loving science experiments. We post about it all the time on Instagram. And lately, we've been trying to find better ways to keep and continue their curiosity going.
Yes. And so I found KiwiCo with Drew when she was an infant. but have since graduated. Drew and Jet, our two oldest, to like their science boxes, which helps them with like engineering, robotics, technology, and they love getting their hands dirty and in it. And the things that KiwiCo comes up with is amazing. So each month, if you subscribe or get a membership, you get a new box in the mail for your kid to open, and it's filled with goodies. I remember this as an infant, and it was amazing.
Awesome.
But now as a toddler, it's even cooler. They get to discover and build and create things with their science boxes that are amazing.
The activities are nonstop. You get to do things like engineering, robots. There's learning about science of ice cream. That was one of our kids' favorite. Yes. But they always do age-appropriate things as well, which is really cool and important. And it allows the teaching and learning process to go really smoothly.
Yes. My favorite thing about KiwiCo is that their boxes are age-appropriate. So as your kid gets older, the boxes develop with them. And it also kind of tells you where they should be developmentally. I remember as a parent, it's when I started KiwiCo as a kid, like as an infant, I loved that it gave parents tips to kind of encourage the educational process for your kid. It can be hard to find creative ways to keep your child engaged, challenged, and off their screens, but KiwiCo does the work for you so you can spend quality time tackling projects together.
That's right. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo.
Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with promo code COUPLE.
That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo.com, promo code COUPLE.
Okay.
Anyway.
Next one. I'm going to do the next one on my own because Andrew and I got in an argument last time we tried to film this podcast because of this one. And we had the same answer. I don't know why we kept using the wrong words. How to ask your husband or spouse for a break with the kids. I'm a stay-at-home mom and he works all day long, so I feel guilty asking him to help. Here's the answer that I think we both agree with.
Okay.
When you're parents to kids, you are teammates. You have to be able to ask your teammate for help.
Yes.
And you can't ever feel guilty about it.
Yes.
Period.
I agree. I agree.
Next one. Relationship advice for when a partner is suffering with anxiety or depression.
Okay, so I was super anxious when I was trying out for the NFL, just like from, it was like performance anxiety. Anytime I had practice, I would be locked up. Mm-hmm. You remember that?
I do.
And Sean was so encouraging. She was patient. She wasn't trying to jam anything down my throat or tell me, hey, it's okay. You got this. She was just there for me and actually didn't need to say really anything. Mm-mm. Maybe my love language is touch, but like if it felt like you just holding my hand and being with me mm-hmm. was your way of showing support. So like, even though you are solution oriented and you did want to like, hey, let me throw this psychologist at you or this solution at you. Like you were just there and you let me do it. And it didn't, because I feel like there's a world that exists where the other person's so anxious about mm-hmm. trying to help the other person with anxiety that it just kind of snowballs the effect. So just try to be a calming presence is what works for me. You did a great job at that and I'm appreciative of it.
I think anxiety and depression or anything when it comes to mental illness in that category can always feel very isolating. They can always feel like, oh, they just don't understand or, oh, they're just not going to get it. And I think as a spouse, the best relationship advice I was given is just love them and be there for them. Don't be like, don't think to yourself, oh, it will pass. It'll be fine. No, like Andrew said, be there with them. And you don't have to try to fix it, but just make sure your spouse knows no matter what it is they're going through, it will be like, it'll be okay and we'll be together.
Yeah. That being said, usually it is a phase, right?
Yeah.
And now I look back on that phase of our life with fond memories. Like even though in the middle of it, it was torture and I wanted out of that situation so bad. I'm like, wow, what a special time of bonding for Sean and I to get to know each other in a different way. So if that was you that asked that question, you got this. Next up, the question is, or the statement is, the first year as first time parents, they're struggling mm-hmm. to not fight all the time.
Hmm.
The first few months is a grind. Mm-hmm. I talk about this all the time. There's just so many new logistics introduced. There's so many new stress points where you have this baby who like needs care and each parent is coming at it from different cultural backgrounds and different you know, role, like parental roles. And also you have the fact that every day you wake up probably earlier than you were expecting to, like at 3 a.m. and you're not waking up to like a calm alarm clock. It's a crying baby that wakes you up. And for us, we have sound machines and you're trying to have this, this conversation. You can't hear each other. And it's probably a poopy diaper is your first action that you have to change. There's just a lot of like variables that are new and you haven't done before. So fighting, there will be some conflict, but as long as you're going through the conflict with the mindset of, hey, you know what? We're two parents who have really different unspoken expectations. And the goal of this conflict is to try to get us closer to being on the same page. Mm-hmm. You're going to be fine, right? And there is hope.
I think of it like this. So when you get married, when you get engaged and married, you spend quite a bit of time figuring each other out. Like it takes years to be like, okay, I'm the clean one. You're the dirty one. This is how we're going to compromise. This is how we're going to like do life together. You start learning that through the dating phase and everything. But then when you have a kid, instead of having the luxury of figuring a kid out over the course of years, you have to figure a baby out in the course of days. Like you have to figure out, is that a hungry cry? Is that whatever it is? And I think because you both love that kid so much, it just makes tension really, really high. So I would say reiterate your affection to your spouse in the early phase.
Mm.
And kind of don't say anything else and know that it's a phase and it's just a season. It'll come and go. But it's also like the greatest season ever. So
honestly, I feel like you and I are just exiting that mm-hmm. season where Jet's now 9 months and we tell each other all the time through that new baby phase, like, hey, we're a team,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's good to remind each other of that because there's so many variables that are happening. But a couple of things that come to mind are remind each other that you know how this fight ends, and that's with you two still married.
Remind each other that you love each other.
Yes.
That you are still each other's number one, that you're on the same team. I think because it's such a new world and so foreign to both of you, it's terrifying, and you have to know that, like, you're in it together.
Yeah. And also try not to think of the strategy of the war while you're in a battle. Does that make sense?
You love your analogies.
I do. Here's why. Don't, if there's a crying baby, don't try to be like figuring out the big picture solution that you want to move forward with. It's like, get through that immediate situation and then you can be like, hey, can we talk tonight about what we want to do with how long we're going to let the baby cry? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And that's just a way more effective way to actually move forward with figuring out a solution than trying to do it while the baby's crying. So don't try to figure out the strategy of the war while you're in the battle. You like that? No. You like that? Come on. I just came up with that.
You're
babe.
Just such a
Do you think I'm like...
you're a genius, babe.
Okay, next one.
The next one. Oh, boy. How to know if your best guy friend likes you.
This question is so frustrating to me. The Why? Guy, I think... You got to shoot your shot. It's like if a guy likes someone or if you like someone, I feel like it should be made known.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I don't know. I don't know. Mm.
I don't think that there are platonic relationships where a boy can just be a friend with a girl. I just don't. In my experience, that hasn't been
controversial.
I know. Hot take, but. More than likely probably does like you. I have a conversation, be like, hey, I wanted to touch base. I know that's like dicey because you could damage the relationship, but like, am I reading this situation wrong?
I think it's probably all very gray lines because it's like, you obviously like each other enough to be friends for some reason, right?
Yeah.
So then what's stopping you from admiring the person more?
Exactly my point.
I'm
exactly my point. I am a big fan of candid and crucial conversation. So
do you think there's a world in which friendships can exist where it's kind of been like addressed and it's like, yeah, but this isn't going to ever be a thing. So can we be friends?
Mm. I don't know. I don't know.
You don't know?
Maybe.
Do you have any girl friends? Girls who are friends?
Well, we work with almost exclusively girls. So
what are you saying?
Am I cool with them?
Are they?
Yes. But like, am I going to call Lexi up and be like, hey, you want to go on a walk, just you and I, to the park? No. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but like, you're friends.
Would you be down for that? No.
Lexi's like, no.
That's what I'm saying. It's like, it's just not.
But you would consider Lexi a friend.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. I think it can exist. It just.
There's levels.
I think to a certain extent, hear me out on this thought.
Here we go, Sean.
Edit all this out. We need. I think every relationship that happens, like friendship or more, immediately starts out with like, could this person be a spouse or like a whatever?
This is getting wild. I love it. I love it.
I think it's like, Lexi's mortified. I think it's like subconscious though, because it's like you just like decide immediately, and all of a sudden it's like we're friends or bros.
That's funny. I think there's probably a large group of people that would agree with you.
I think there's a filter there.
All right. Well,
Lexi's mortified.
If that was you that asked the question.
Lexi, did you filter my husband?
Moving on. If you know me, you know I love cereal. Our whole family does. And growing up, cereal was one of the best parts of being a kid. But now that I'm older, I know it's important to watch out for empty carbs and extra sugar. So I took a little break there from eating so much cereal. But now I've tried Magic Spoon, and Magic Spoon has classic flavors and the crunch you love, but it has way less sugar and it's high in protein.
We love Magic Spoon in the East household. I always get the variety pack. It has 4 flavors, cocoa, fruity, frosted, and peanut butter. This pack has 0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and 4 to 5 grams of net carbs with only 140 calories per serving. It's high protein, has 0 grams of sugar. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, and soy-free.
It's pretty wild to think a cereal can be high in protein and low carb and still taste delicious, but it does. I love eating a bowl of the fruity flavor after a workout for some extra protein, and Sean here loves the cocoa flavor as a snack before bed. We think everyone should try Magic Spoon and taste the difference themselves. Go to magicspoon.com/eastfam to grab a variety pack and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code EASTFAM at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, start the new year off right with a delicious bowl of high-protein cereal at magicspoon.com/EASTFAM. And use our code EASTFAM to save $5 off.
Thank you, Magic Spoon, for sponsoring this episode. Next question is... Next topic, I should say.
Yeah.
How to encourage your family and kids to eat healthy. My gosh, this is topical.
Should I take this one?
Hit it.
Okay. I have a lot of... This could be an entire podcast. How to encourage your family and kids to eat healthy. It's very simple. By example. You don't preach it. You don't overemphasize it. You don't make it consequential.
Sure.
You don't make it like a do this and not that. You don't associate status, like nothing. Just do it by example. That's it.
Yeah, you're really big on not making it guilty or shameful.
No, never.
Yeah.
It should never be, we can't eat candy because it's bad for you. No, it's like, yeah, we can eat candy. But I'm going to lead by influence to our kids that shouldn't be your entire regimen of food.
A couple of things that I've noticed Sean has done is, because I came from a family, I ate like bowls of cereal growing up, pretty much. That was like my breakfast and lunch. And then we would do candy dinners where like the Boston baked beans were the beans. And then we would do the Twizzler strings of spaghetti. Not all the time, but I'm saying.
Wow.
Did you know this?
I did not know this.
It was epic, dude. Candy dinners, hot take, are a fun activity for kids. But what Sean has done that I've gleaned and has just slowly morphed me into someone who eats healthier is like, it's just a lifestyle. Like, to her point of just leading by example, she goes to the grocery store and she'll buy healthier products. And initially it's like, why are we eating the healthy granola instead of my cereal? It's like a hurdle that you jump and you get used to the taste and then you start appreciating it, mm-hmm. and your standards change. But it's like, it's more of like a lifestyle than, hey, I'm trying to force this every single meal. So like, just go to the grocery, buy healthier mm-hmm. food. We use Thrive Market, talk about it all the time. Also just local grocery stores. You can find great options. And then also realize that balance, and Sean does a great job at this, is like paramount to, we have this diet that we're trying to adhere to, and we're going to do everything we can and stress out about this to the extent that we can keep this diet perfect. It's like, that's not what it's about. It's, mm-mm. hey, let's just make a little bit of progress today. Let's do that.
I also think, I have two more thoughts. One, moderation is very, very healthy. So moderation is very healthy. You can have a chocolate chip cookie. You can have four chocolate chip cookies. You can go to McDonald's and have a McFlurry or go to McDonald's for breakfast. But should you do that every single day? Probably not. Like, I think leading by example and teaching your children and your family that we eat healthy and we can still have fun and we can still have birthday cake and we can still do all of these things. It's just, we shouldn't live off of it. The second thing is, this is more to parents. This is 100% to parents than anything. You cannot teach your child something that you don't do. You can't. You absolutely can't. Your child will not understand that. And your child will grow up to have to figure that out themselves. If you want your child to exercise and to eat healthy, or to not, we want to go down that road, to not smoke, to not drink excessively, to whatever it is, you can't just teach them, oh, mommy does it, but you can't. That's not okay. It doesn't work that way. Kids learn by leading. And so you have to show them.
With anything indulging, like with treats or entertainment, even movies, Sean and I try to make it as intentional as possible. So like my grandpa used to say, a treat's not a treat if you have it every day. Mm-hmm. And so like, yeah, to her point about eating milkshakes, we do that. But it's like a fun event. It's like a special thing where we'll be intentional about it. Be like, hey, every Sunday we're gonna have pizza night. And then we save pizza for that night because it's like something to build excitement mm-hmm. for, and it makes it more special. Mm-hmm. Today's episode is brought to you by Athletic Greens. We love this company so much and the products that they make that we said, you know what? I want to invest in this company.
They thought we were crazy, but then they actually let us.
Yeah. And why do we love the company so much?
Because it's such a high quality product. I have had so many people ask me, if I were to take one supplement, just one, to improve my life, what would it be? And we always tell them AG1. Because with just one scoop of their greens powder, you can get 75, yes, 75 high quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help start your day off right.
The special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, and aging.
We all have massive nutritional gaps in our diet. It's natural. It happens. I like chocolate chip cookies and I don't eat enough broccoli. And this can truly help you.
And not only is it healthy and convenient, it's priced at an amazing rate. It's less than $3 a day.
To make it easy, Athletic Greens is going to give you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/EastFam.
Again, that is athleticgreens.com/EastFam to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. We'll also link it down below. Let's get back to it. Moving on.
How to make and cultivate friendships as an adult.
We just interviewed Jenny Allen, yeah. who wrote a book all about this.
And she said you have to be intentional. You have to make time for it and mm-hmm. like write it into your schedule, which sounds crazy. But make it like once a month, you and your husband or your spouse is going to like go do something fun and try to meet someone new.
Caroline, I'm curious to get Caroline just moved to Nashville and she's been a great example of how to make friends, but she's an adult. And I feel like one thing that she's done is just done stuff where yeah. she'll go to happy hour with her neighbors or she'll walk dogs or ride bikes. It's like, I'm a big fan of just diving in and doing activities. Mm-hmm. And you'll meet people. If you love mountain biking and you join a mountain bike group, you're probably going to meet some people that you vibe with because mm-hmm. you have shared interests. So start there. That's where church is so great too.
Yeah.
Shared interests.
This next one's interesting.
Also, one last thing.
Okay.
I still do this as a 30-year-old man. I'll just say to people, hey, I want to be friends.
Yeah.
Do you want to be friends?
You do.
And people think it's funny, cute. But I'm being serious and it's like a good icebreaker. So there you go.
Next category. Interesting. How to be a less judgmental parent.
Wow. Go for it.
We should work on being judgmental at all. And you should never judge your kids. So your kids are their own humans. They are not you. They are not manifestations of what you want them to be. They are not little humans that are going to follow a playbook that you write out for them. They're not. They're their own people. And to be less judgmental, you need to celebrate who they are and let them just be their own person.
I think the way I've heard it described is parenting is like this treasure. What do you call it? It's like a treasure hunt where you're trying to figure out who your kid is. And obviously there's going to be, like Sean and I love sports, and so the things that we get excited about are sports, and so our kids see that and probably want to do more sports. But we try to be aware of that, and it's like, as far as interest goes, whatever, we're going to try to lay the foundation to set this kid up for success and like a healthy life and fulfilling friendships and purpose. But at the end of the day, it's kind of fun to see how it all pans out. So, mm-hmm. you know, sit back and enjoy the ride. Obviously you have a role in that, but
for sure.
Like,
but your role is not to judge.
You and I kind of like, I'm more of a hardline parent a little bit where I'm like, I'm not going to let you do X, Y, Z, you know, but not judging. You got to draw the lines. Bop, 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 you know?
I think we're on the same exact page
I
there.
Agree. All right.
I think we're not going to teach our kid it's okay to hurt people.
Yeah.
Or X, Y, and Z. But I don't think we get to judge their interests, their hobbies, and their passions.
I appreciate this question. And obviously, I think you and I need to like sit down and figure out how we're going to navigate that one.
I think we're on the same exact
yes.
page.
1 in 5 Americans have, quote, learn a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off your list with Babbel.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks.
Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are designed by over 150 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Plus, Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching, so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world.
Andrew and I have been learning Spanish on Babbel, and it's been so fun. We've wanted to learn a new language for so long and have finally started. We've learned how to order food, ask for directions, speak to merchants, all without having to consult language apps, which is so cool.
It's crazy how fast your brain picks up a new language when it's presented in a relatable way. Plus, Babbel's speech recognition technology helps you to improve your pronunciation and accent. Babbel has over 10 million subscriptions sold. Plus, all of Babbel's 14 language courses are backed by their 20-day money-back guarantee.
Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/eastfam. Again, get 60% off at babbel.com/eastfam, spelled BABBEL.com/eastfam. Rules and restrictions may apply.
How to mentally prep myself and my 2-year-old for baby number 2.
Oh, you got this, dude. 0 to 1 was way harder.
Yeah.
In our experience.
Our pediatrician is actually the one who kind of prepped us for it. He said, talk to your 2-year-old a lot and talk to your 2-year-old as if it's their baby. So it's not mommy and daddy are having another baby. And it's not mommy and daddy are going to bring another baby home for us or whatever. Make it your kids. Make it your 2-year-olds. It's your baby brother. It's your baby sister. It's your baby, you know, it's make it like an exciting moment for them more than anything else.
We also brought a present home for Drew from the hospital. Is that right?
From the baby.
From Jet. And then anybody that came to meet the baby at the house, obviously there's going to be like family and friends and everyone's so excited to meet the baby and the two-year-old can feel left out. So we always included Drew by saying, by like having her be the gatekeeper where it's like, hey, Drew, can Uncle Sam meet baby Jet? And then that way she feels special and like takes ownership.
And it's always like, like if a friend would come over and say, can I see Jet? It'd be like, oh, you have to ask Drew.
Yeah.
That's Drew's baby.
It was
and
fun.
So they'd be like, Drew, can I meet Jet? And Drew would kind of take him over and truly let the 2 year old be almost in possession, which sounds weird.
Yeah, it's fun. All right, next question. How to create vision for your family. We've been blessed to have mentors who have helped us with that, with this. We did a whole episode on goal setting, which you can listen to. It's like 45 minutes or an hour of what Sean and I do on an annual basis. I think this is so important. And this is, at least for how Sean and I operate, one of the more exciting things that we do. And for us to have this shared vision for what we're building, like we work together, we parent together, we're best friends, we're married, we're like, work out together. We do literally all of life together. We do all of life together. And so for us to like sit down and set a vision is not only important because it gets us on the same page of where we're going, but it's also fun. It's like, wow, we can dream together. And that process for us has been like so special and unlocks just all these conversations about, oh, you know, I don't feel that way. And it's because this hurt me this past year, whatever. It's just like, it's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. Dreaming is vulnerable. So you can listen to that, but we break it down into like sections and we dream and cast visions about each of that. But
I was gonna say something we talked about in our goal setting and vision setting podcast, which you guys should listen to, is you so easily can get wrapped up in life, just kind of moving day by day, year by year, down a path that you never planned for. And I think something Andrew and I have tried to do as a family is have check-ins quarterly, annually, whatever it is, to make sure that every decision we're making on a daily basis leads us in the direction we want to go. And I'm not even saying you're going to go down a path that you don't like. It just might not be what you dreamt of. Mm. And it's so easy to say yes to this and no to that and it not align with the vision you want. And I think if you have those reminders and those check-ins and you stay very vocal about it to your spouse, you can keep your family going down the path that you want.
There's a book called Visioneering that I would recommend reading. He says that everyone gets somewhere in life. Some people get there on purpose. Mm-hmm. Like that concept just really shook me where I was like, man, missing out. If we're not doing this on purpose or intentionally, then what are we doing? So read that book, listen to the podcast episode and dream. It's fun. Okay. Next topic.
How do you know you're actually ready to have kids and how to ask your partner who isn't ready? So you both have to be ready to start. I'm a firm believer in that and to start trying or to have a kid. And honestly, that is what it means to be a team. Is you have to work together to make sure you're on the same track. Andrew and I struggled with that with like our miscarriage because we would kind of go back and forth on who was ready at certain times and who wasn't. We would kind of flip back and forth. And you just kind of have to wait for that time when you both are. And that's just through communication.
Yeah. And it's not like, hey, I'm ready to have kids. We're doing it. It's being up for entering into the adventure. Mm-hmm. And so just make sure you're both on that same page because you don't know, like when you start trying, it could take, we've had friends that it took 5 years. It took us three. And it's a wild adventure. It's like you're entering this game where you have no control and it's continually humbling from the beginning to the end where pregnancy is crazy. There's so many things that can happen and parenting is the same way. Mm-hmm. So it's like, hey, we're at a spot where we're strong enough together as a couple to take on these new variables, but you got this. There's a lot of ways to live a fun and fulfilling life, and having kids is certainly one of them.
It is.
If you're entering that journey, good luck.
Okay. We're going to rapid fire the last four because they're heavy hitters and we could talk about them for hours. You ready for this?
Yes.
How to feel like you still have purpose as a mother. I would say this. You can lose your identity and you can lose your identity for a while as a mom. You have to be intentional. You have to ask for help. And you have to do stuff for yourself As a mom, you do everything you can to sacrifice your life for your kids and your family. But you have to remember that in order to be the best mother you could be, you also have to protect who you are and give yourself some time.
Hmm. How to tell your spouse if you have a complaint about their parents. Whoa. Okay. Mm-hmm. I think full of grace with a dose of truth. Mm-hmm. It's kind of a good way to approach it. Don't make it feel like you're attacking the parents. That never goes well. Try to handle the issue together and not individually. And then one thing that our marriage counselor said to us was, you know, things can get complicated. And if your parents don't like your spouse or there's conflict, you're always taking your spouse's side. That's the right way to do it. You're not like yes manning your parents of like, if my parents come to me and like, hey, Sean's so annoying and I can't believe she does this.
Excuse me.
It is so wrong of me to be like, yeah, I know she is. It's like, cause that just festers the problem. It grows mm-hmm. the problem. You're taking the side of when they come to you and say, Sean's so annoying. It's like, no, I love her. She's my wife. Mm-hmm. And we are growing together. So do it together as a team. Next up.
How to maintain body positivity as a mom and someone in their 30s or 40s. I don't look like I did in my 20s. Bodies change over time, as they should. And being a mom changes your body. I think you have to understand and accept the changes that come with the miracle of life. And think about yourself this way. If you had a daughter, what would you teach her to think about her body? I think that's what I have to remind myself the most of, is to give yourself grace. And I would want Drew to love herself no matter what. So again, you can't teach what you don't act on. So I have to act on that.
I got thoughts on aging. It's like, what? Why is everyone trying to stay looking young? I think it's fun to like get old and wrinkly together. That's part of it, dude.
It is.
What are we doing? It's going to happen. And then we're going to be dead. That's kind of what happens. It's like you look good for a little bit, then you get old and wrinkly, and then you die.
Okay.
Bada bing.
Last one.
That's just it. Don't.
On that note, Andrew, how to live life to the fullest. What do you do to make the most of every single day?
Oh, dude, I love this question
too. Give me your best.
I freaking love it.
One line.
This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it.
Every day is a blessing.
That's
how I take it for granted.
That's how I start each and every day. Are you done?
I'm done.
I start every day like that.
That was my mic drop.
I read every morning. It gets me pumped. And it's just like when you wake up grateful and excited. And I know some people don't like their job or they're in stressful situations and like families, whatever. It can be stressful. But there's always going to be something good going on. So look at that and let that control your thoughts. Like, so cheesy, but control what you can control. And the one thing you can always control is your attitude, right? Mm-hmm. So just recognize the good. That doesn't mean there's not going to be conflict, but you have something to be grateful for. I'm just a big believer that everyone listening literally is put here to change the world. They have a story mm-hmm. or an experience that no one else has, and they could share that to reach others and impact people. So like, are you doing that? Are you doing that? That's my question. Just get pumped up about it. Like it's crazy.
I love your passion.
Can I keep talking or you want me to shut it down?
I'm cutting
you're
you
shutting
off.
Me down. Yes. I'm going to do a whole redirected podcast episode on this because
you should.
Purpose is important. Anyway, we'll leave it there. Thank you for those questions, Instagram. Hope that was somewhat helpful.
Yes.
Probably the airplane was the most tangible advice.
Yeah, we got lists on lists. Check the description down below if you haven't yet. Please subscribe. Thank you for listening. I am Sean.
And I'm Andrew.
And we are the East Fam.
Out. All right, real quick for all of those listening out there. We don't ask for a lot of favors, I don't think. Babe, do we?
No.
But we're going to ask you a favor today, all right? If you're listening to Couple Things Podcast on Apple Podcasts specifically, will you please do us this short, quick favor?
We want to make sure you're staying up to date with our show, and Apple's latest iOS update has paused downloads for many listeners.
and some of you have expressed our latest episodes aren't being recommended to you on Apple Podcasts anymore.
So here's how to make sure you're getting your episode. And again, this is for Apple Podcasts specifically. Open up that podcast app on your iPhone.
Search Couple Things and tap our show's icon.
And then in the top right corner, you might see a plus follow symbol. If you do, tap it to resume following the show.
If you get a prompt to, quote, turn on automatic downloads, say yes. That way, you'll get all of the episodes. Thank you so much, guys. We're so glad this update was brought to our attention because we want to make sure we're reaching as many of you as we can.
Love y'all, and we really appreciate you doing this.